The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Welcome back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, and our next segment is being brought to you by our friends at Pinnacle Bank, the way banking should be. And although we are out here in the heart of the Big 12 Conference, it is time for us to head over to the Big 10 country and talk some Nebraska football. That sounds so bizarre to say that. We are so delighted to bring into our program our distinctive gentleman, Jason Peter, three-time national champion at the University of Nebraska. He joins us every single week for our Under the Helmets segment. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm good. We got a little relief up here with weather. I know it's not as bad as what you guys have down there. I think you guys are on 33 or 34 straight days of 100-degree heat. You guys probably don't really count the days because you're probably used to it, but up here, and I think more on a national level, they probably make that a bigger deal to everybody than maybe what you guys are used to.
Well, I'll tell you what, James Hale was on our first segment, and he's up in Oklahoma, and he's talking about how they've had, you know, terrible thunderstorms, the most rain in 3 months, and we are absolutely dying down here. We're ready for a change in the weather. And I'm curious, before we start talking about some college football, Jason, you've got your big celebrity golf tournament with Larry the Cable Guy coming up in the month of October. First of all, how are things progressing with that? And I want to get your thoughts. You love golf. I want to get your thoughts on Stevie Williams and this whole caddy bit. He's certainly made the headlines this past week.
Yeah, I've been a little bit shocked and appalled at the response that some of the fellow golfers on the PGA have criticized Stevie.
Really?
Do we live in a world now where the egos on these professional athletes are so big that nobody else is allowed to open their mouth? I mean, look, this goes back, I think, to the way I've talked with you about the recruiting websites, and you know, these kids are put up on the pedestal, you know, before they even step foot on a college campus, and it's not just in football; it's all sports now because kids are starting so much younger, and you know, I think just with the internet and the exposure that these kids get, that, you know, it's just natural that they're developing egos, you know, long before they even graduate from high school. And you know, I mean, the guy was asked a couple questions. Now, I'll be the first one to say, you know, his first response, no matter what the question was, should have been, you know, what a performance by Adam. You know, he's the one out there making the shots. You know, his contribution by no means is equal to what Adam does, but I mean, come on, the gallery is chanting this guy's name up and down the course. I mean, coming down 18, that's all you could hear was Stevie, and I'm sure there's a part of people's hearts that are compassionate and sympathetic for him, but you know, I mean, he was a guy that he stood by Tiger through thick and thin. And, you know, to say that caddies don't play a huge part of the game, you know, that would be ignorant to say that. I mean, otherwise you'd be like Happy Gilmore, where Adam Sandler picks, you know, the homeless guy up off the street who's wearing one shoe. I mean, there's a reason why there's so much talk about who's going to be Tiger's next caddy. Where's, you know, is Stevie going to permanently be with Adam Scott? And, you know, for me, it's like, okay, if he disrespected Adam Scott so badly, then why doesn't Scott fire him? If it's not that big of a deal as to who carries your bag, get somebody else. But for me, it's just a response that, that people, the fellow golfers, you know, I mean, did he swing a club out there? You know, no, he didn't. You know, Bill Belichick doesn't throw any passes either. Bo Pelini can't go out and tackle anybody. Now, I'm not saying that a head coach in football, you know, doesn't carry more of an impact than a caddy. You know, I can't say for sure. I've never been out on the tour. I've never had my own caddy. You know, so I can't necessarily compare. I'm just taking a shot in the dark here, and I would imagine that, sure, an NFL coach or a college coach, the impact is probably a little bit greater, but this is still a guy who, you know, there's a reason Tiger walked away with however many majors he has now, and you know, certainly part of it was Stevie. You know, I mean, you just saw the turnaround with Adam Scott. I mean, winning, you know, a huge tournament right here. I mean, he's a guy that's just kind of lurked in the shadows before, and, you know, whether or not he continues, that remains to be seen. But I've just been shocked by the criticism that he's gotten. You know, I mean, I'm sure there was a little bit of him that was probably hurt by the way that things went down with Tiger. And can you blame somebody for just wanting to get a little, you know, kidney shot in? I mean, that's ultimately what he did there, was saying that it's the best week he ever had.
Jason, Peter, you know, we agree on a lot of things, but I completely disagree with you, because I just think about, now talk to me here, Adam Scott captured one of the biggest career wins. You know, it was huge. And I watched that video, that post-interview, and Steve Williams, he talked about how that was the best win I've ever had. I mean, everything was expressed in first person. I'm all about, you're talking about, you know, being able to express yourself. He did all of those things, but it was just so, I mean, it just shows it and demonstrates just what a serious grudge he has against Tiger Woods. I mean, he's got some anger issues. He's got to work through this.
Well, what did you want him to say, though, Alyssa? Could he have said, this is the best win we've ever had? I mean, he can only speak for himself, right? So it's just natural that he's going to say, this was the best week that I've ever had. You know, and you know, I thought the interviewer should have kind of expanded on that a little bit more in terms of, you know, is this the best week because of the way that the fans supported you? Is it the best week just in terms of, you know, how focused you were? Is it because of, you know, the rebound coming off of the breakup with Tiger? You know, there wasn't really a direction, I think, with that question. It was just a more general thing, and it was a general answer that he gave. But I don't know. I just think that, you know, for these guys to be upset because of caddy, you know, it's like, what is he, you know, a servant here? I mean, is he a slave? He's not allowed to talk at all? I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous.
I think what people, you know, as they looked at it and viewed it, and, you know, if you looked out on Twitter, a lot of folks were just talking about how it really stole the spotlight, you know, from what Adam Scott was able to accomplish. Absolutely. He's all part of Team Scott and, you know, and plays a big role. But I don't know. It just seemed it became so much more personal. I believe it was David Faraday was the one that was interviewing him after the tournament.
So, I mean, there you go. You got a former pro golfer. I mean, he shouldn't have asked the questions then, right? He should have just known that this would have been a disrespectful thing to do, and he's putting him in a bad situation. But, you know, it's all for ratings anyway, and I just don't have a major issue with it like a lot of people do.
Well, Jason, you know, you do bring up a great point, because what is the value of a good caddy to the golfer's success? I mean, is the caddy's job more than just, you know, carrying the clubs? I mean, there's no doubt Stevie Williams is definitely an ace in the hole. He's that guy that has really, he's a fantastic caddy and has had tremendous success, and a big reason why Tiger was so successful.
Especially when you're talking about Tiger and how emotional he is. Certainly he's been very emotional over the last couple of years without, you know, a victory under his belt. But, you know, even during the good times, there were times when, you know, Tiger very easily just could have kind of drifted out into the ocean, right? I mean, and Stevie was there, and he kind of, you know, would get him, I think, it was more a mental thing with him, and he was able to get Tiger refocused and, you know, have him move on to the next hole. And I'm not saying that, you know, this guy is the reason why Tiger has ripped off as many victories as he has, but, you know, these guys, I mean, there's a reason why some guys want certain caddies, you know, over others.
J. Jason Peter is with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. It is our Under the Helmet segment. Here in just a moment, we are going to talk about the Big Ten Conference, specifically his Nebraska Huskers. But what about a lot of news this past week in regards to Texas A&M, a potential move to the SEC Conference? Governor Rick Perry said, you know, Texas A&M is talking about the SEC move, and it certainly stirred the pot. What's your thoughts up there?
I don't think you can blame them. I really don't. I think you got to look at the old Big 12 conference, and with Texas forming, you know, their own network, I think it's going to be a domino effect here, and eventually, you know, I don't think you should be surprised if the conference, you know, is no longer in existence in 5 or 10 years. That wouldn't be a shock to me. I mean, Texas A&M has to look out for itself. You know, that's certainly what Texas has done. And, you know, for me, I don't have a problem with them kind of looking around. It will be tough, don't get me wrong. You know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be upset with not having certain rivalries with Texas A&M. But, you know, go back for me. I mean, you look at what the Big 12 Conference did with the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry. I mean, one of the greatest rivalries in not just college football, all of sports.
Right.
And what it comes down to is financial motivation, and, you know, I mean, that's the same reason that Texas started their own network. You know, it's financial, and, you know, I think A&M, they're going to have to make sure that they look out for themselves, because that's all you can really do. And, you know, you got to imagine that in the back of everybody's minds is, they're wondering, all of the athletic directors and the presidents and everybody, they're getting in their meetings at each school, and they're saying, well, do you think Missouri going to try to jump ship? Who's going to try to go out to the Pac-10? Who else is the Big Ten going to try to recruit? You know, what's going to happen with, I mean, people are probably asking themselves, what are we going to do? What do you think they're going to do? Because if they go, you know, it might not matter. You might be stuck, left out in the cold, and that's the thing that you don't want to have happen to you.
I'm curious, you know, Jason, with you guys now being in the Big Ten Conference, do you just kind of look and reflect on the Big 12 and go, I'm glad we got out when we did?
Yeah, I really had a problem with when the Big 12 Conference was formed, and when I was a player there, it didn't really register. I mean, all I was focused on was, you know, chasing running backs and quarterbacks. I didn't really pay attention to, you know, the voting process and certain rules that the conference either took from the Big 8 or took from the Southwest. But now, you know, with time, I'd like to think that I got a little bit smarter since then. You kind of you see some of the stuff that's happened and the way that the conference was formed. And, you know, I have no sympathy for the other Big 8 schools that went into the Big 12 Conference, because they shot themselves in the foot. I mean, when the conference was formed, you know, that's when Nebraska was riding high, and we had really separated ourselves from everybody else in the conference. And here was an opportunity to what people thought was maybe hurt Nebraska a little bit and not vote the way that Nebraska wanted to vote. And everybody ultimately decided to vote with the way that Texas and the other Southwest schools were voting. And, you know, all that did was change the big guy in the conference. And now it's Texas. And you know, they took a guy from the Southwest Conference and had him, you know, run the conference.
Right.
And he's ultimately, I think, that's been his number one priority, is to make sure that Texas and some of those other southern schools are taken care of first. So for Nebraska, you know, and Coach Osborne, and I've said it before, the Nebraska-Oklahoma game, Coach Osborne knows how much that game means to the fans, to the players, really to the country. And if that game was still in existence, I don't know if he would have jumped to the Big Ten. I think that game alone and the respect that he has for it and the respect that he has for the fans out there, he wouldn't have taken that away from them. But, you know, that's not the world that we live in, and they decided that game wasn't important, and you know, their main game of the year was going to be Oklahoma and Texas, and now ultimately you have Texas that says, well, we don't care about anybody else, all we care about is us, so we're going to do what we want to do, and you know, there's talk that Texas will be fine if the conference folds, whether or not they go to another conference. You know, they'll remain independent if they have to, and as long as you win, it's great, right? You don't have to share any money with anybody. But there were years when Texas a stadium was half empty, and you know, you hear rumors about, you know, if USC, there's talk maybe they would do it, and you know, it wasn't too long ago, you know, prior to Pete Carroll, where you couldn't give USC tickets away. So, I mean, Nebraska went through it. Fortunately, we had fans that stuck by, and, you know, the sellout streak continued. But, you know, it can happen to anybody. Oklahoma went through it all those years. I mean, prior to Bob Stoops getting there. And those aren't years you want to go through if you're an independent school.
Glad you're with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. You can email us at info@eradiosports.com. And we're talking to one of our favorite guests, Jason Peter. It is our Under the Helmet segment. And let's delve in here. Let's talk about your Huskers. A lot of chatter about the offense. And what about this Bubba Starling, this true freshman QB?
Yeah, he's the talk of the town right now. And he hasn't put on a helmet yet. He hasn't practiced yet. He's the kid that was drafted in the first round. He's from Kansas. He's a quarterback, but he's an outfielder Kansas City Royals drafted him. And, you know, he's looking at major cash, and he hasn't practiced. I think, in my opinion, he's not going to. I think coming up here is just kind of a strategic ploy against the Royals. You know, it gives him a little negotiating power here. You know, well, if you're not going to pay me that $10 million, I'm just going to go to college. And, you know, whatever. Life goes on, and no one player makes up a program, especially one who hasn't played it down yet. But he's talented. I'll say that. Now, whether or not that translates to college football success, you know, who knows if we'll ever see that. But I had a conversation with Coach Osborne not too long ago, and we were talking about him. And Coach Osborne said, Jason, he's one of the most talented kids I've ever seen coming out of high school, especially at the quarterback position.
Wow.
And for Coach Osborne to give that type of praise, I mean, he was never anybody to praise a freshman before he accomplished something on the field, before he went out and earned respect from his teammates. And certainly he's in a different role now as the athletic director. And it was a private conversation, but he thinks very, very highly of him. And I know that if Bo had his way, he'd certainly have him in the lineup. But he probably won't play, but you never know what can happen.
That certainly is some high praise from the former great coach, Tom Osborne. I am curious, offensively, you guys have a new coordinator and quarterbacks coach in Tim Beck. I mean, what kind of, any new wrinkles out there? I mean, what can we anticipate? Is it going to be a little bit faster offense?
Well, this is what everybody was waiting for. All the talk in the offseason was what's going to happen with the offense. I mean, since Bo's gotten here, the defense has been fine. They've pretty much put the team in a situation where they could win. If they could put, you know, 21, not even, the 17 points up on the board, 9 times out of 10, they probably would have won that game. But it's the offense has just been brutal. Sean Watson was a coordinator left over from the Callahan years, and you know, when Bo came in, he didn't want to shake it up too much, so he kept him on staff. But he was a West Coast guy, and when Bo got here, he wanted to run more of a spread type offense. And you had a West Coast guy trying to you know, shove the spread down a bunch of 18, 19-year-old kids' throats, and he doesn't know it that well. So it just wasn't a good match. But now with Tim Beck, he was a guy that was in charge of, I think it was the run game down in Kansas for Mark Mangino. That was the year they went to the Orange Bowl. They were 11-1 or something like that.
Yes.
And so he comes this second or third year here now, and people have just anticipated what he was going to do. And from what we've seen and what we've heard, it's going to be more of a Oregon-type offense where it's going to be very fast pace, and they want to keep that tempo up and out-condition people and just play fast, you know, wear down that defense. But, you know, obviously you need execution, and just coming up with the game plan is, you know, I don't even know if it's half the battle. So, you know, we'll see what happens with the quarterback, Martinez. But right now there's a lot of energy, and there's a lot of positive thinking right now behind this offense.
Certainly a lot of optimism. Of course, Nebraska last year finishing 10-4, and they will start off their season September 3rd against Chattanooga at home. So, Jason, we look forward to catching up with you next week, and try to stay cool. I'm assuming that the temperatures are a little bit cooler up there.
Yeah, I think we might actually get below 80. Now, that's just kind of...
Wow.
That's actual temp. Now, real feel, though, might get, you know, 95, 96, but that's still a break from those plus 100 digits.
Okay, Jay, we'll talk to you next week. Look forward to catching up.
Thanks, E.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead here in just a moment.